I'm looking at all the usual places, and I can't find it.
The last live stream of the Kings thing is come on. Trade deadline thing.
Kings do better, bro. Are you for
Oh, is that a shoot?
Kings Wait, it's on Instagram. Who
said it's on Instagram? No, we got it. Hang on, and he's right. They started early. Hang on. I apologize. My bad. Hang on. We got it. We're going to it right now.
All right.
Scott Perry, the one black dude who starts stuff early. Come on, Scott.
That we desire to hang have on in this organization. So extremely excited to have him. And I want all of you to really give him a nice warm welcome here as I turn over the mic to Mr. Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah, first off, appreciate your words. That means a lot to me, my family. It's always, I'm always grateful for opportunity like that, that a organization believes in me, a GM believes in me. I'm always, given everything I have every single day, every single practice, every single game. I always try to leave it all out there. So I'm extremely, extremely happy to be here, to be a part of, the Sacramento Kings moving forward, try to set a culture. I'm really, really, really grateful for this opportunity. And I can't wait to get started.
Okay, with that, we will open it up to questions. And for those of you, please introduce yourself to Dennis as well when you ask your question. Thank you.
I got it. Dennis, I'm Sean Cunningham with KCRA. Welcome to Sacramento. Just a minute ago, hearing Scott kind of say those words, I mean, for someone who's kind of been as well-traveled in this league as you have been, what does that mean to know that they prioritized you and you identify, or you at least check some of those boxes that they're identified that they want to bring in within this roster?
I mean, it means a lot. Like I said, I've been 12 years in this league now, 31, got 3 kids, my wife. So really, really grateful to be around this league. Such a long time, first off, but to have a GM and organization prioritize me as their point guard means the world to me. So I want to give it back, of course, when I get back here every single day, every single practice, games, to leave it all on the floor and give everything for this organization.
And what would you just say this past 2 years has been like? I mean, I think it's 5 teams now, and during that time, I mean, what kind of toll does that take on you professionally?
For me, like I said, I'm in my point in my life. I always take the positive out of the situations. To be around, all the owners, all the GMs, all new teammates. last season was 3 teams. And I, get to meet Steph Curry, Draymond Green, then go to Detroit, Kay Cunningham, all those guys. And before that, starting the season to go to Brooklyn. And it was different roles, so I had to adapt to it. But I always take the positives out of that. My family is always with me. We're always traveling together. And nothing really changes for me. But like I said, it's a blessing to have somebody like Scott, seeing what I do on the court and prioritize me and bringing me here.
Hey, Dennis. Brandon Nunez, Sackdown Sports. Welcome to Sacramento, man. Congratulations. Yeah. First of all, just what kind of were your impressions of this roster as a whole? How good do you think you can be? And, do you have relationships with some of the guys on the roster already?
I mean, I know Zach LaVine a little bit, Debo as well. Couple of my new teammates, they with Mark Bartelstein, our agent. I'm looking forward to meeting everyone. But I think we can be great. We got a lot of talent in this room. I think we just got to, build the chemistry all together and prioritize winning, making sure that every single game counts, and we want to go out there and make sure we beat everybody's ass, and that's what we're going to do.
Scott, you talk about wanting competitiveness. That seems to fit into that.
Absolutely. You know, that's music to my ears when I heard that. Yeah, no, obviously we talked a lot about that in terms of this season being so important that when people come see the Kings play, home or on the road, that they know they're going to get a very tough, hard-playing team that plays together, that leaves it all out on the floor each and every night. And we can live with the results if we do that. And this guy, we believe strongly, is going to be the catalyst to that, along with obviously the rest of the team. But you need a leader at that point guard position, and I think Dennis is going to definitely provide that.
And yeah, you mentioned some of like the intangibles there, but saying he number one guy in free agency, what about him stylistically do you feel like made him a good fit with this group?
Yeah, I you know, where I'm from and how I learned and grew up and playing the game in places like Detroit, Michigan, this guy embodies that. You know, you play, you pick up 94 feet. You very combative in a good way on the court. And so that just really resonated with not only my personality, but Coach Christie's personality, our entire organization and what we're building here. We want the more individuals we can get like that and play that kind of way, the closer we get to establishing the true identity that we want for this basketball team.
Hey, Dennis. Jeremiah Solomson, Sports Radio Service. Welcome to Sacramento. The opportunity here in Sacramento, how exciting is it for you to, you know, more than likely have a very expanded role at the point guard position, kind of being looked to as the guy at the position here right now? Is that an exciting opportunity for you at this point in your career? And, yeah, if you could just speak to the opportunity here.
Yeah, I mean, to be a starting point guard in the NBA, I think is, I mean, you can't ask for more. And then to go out there every single night, you know, to establish a culture, how we want to play. And like Scott said, to be the leader, to, you know, make sure we do it every single night. Being the voice with all those other guys in the locker room is all you can ask for. And like I said, I'm gonna be really excited when I come back, you know, to glue with those guys. And then, yeah, every single opportunity we get, we try to compete.
Hey, Dennis. Deuce Mason. How are you? How do you feel like you can impact this team most, especially since they needed a point guard in a big way?
I mean, if you watch me play the last couple of years, I always do the little things. Defensively, 94 feet, picking up, making sure we play with energy. On the defensive end, on the offensive end, making sure you put your teammates in position, pushing the ball, pushing the pace. I mean, if I have to take 10, 15 shots a game because the game tells me to, I do it. But other than that, I always try to make sure I control the game, put my teammates in position to be great. And, I mean, the most important to win games.
Dennis, welcome. Jason Anderson with the Sacramento Bee. First for you, and then Scott, if I could follow up with you. You know, you've talked about kind of your path and your travels a little bit. How much have you craved, you know, kind of the situation that you've spoken to where, you know, you feel wanted, you feel prioritized, and like the opportunity is what you want? Like, how much have you kind of desired that as you've moved around the league in recent years?
I mean, I got to say, before Brooklyn, Detroit, all those teams, I felt always great. I'm, you know, not disrespecting anyone. But to have this commitment from an organization, from Scott, that is what I didn't have the last couple of years. And like I always say, I'm going to make sure we pay him for that. And in all those little things I bring every single day, but it's a big opportunity for me, for the organization, for the team to be great, and I'm gonna give everything I have to be great this season.
And Scott, as you look at what more you guys can do, does it feel like you're done? Does it feel like you have other moves you can make? I know a lot was made about like retaining the MLE in this deal, but it's a little unclear like how much of that you guys can use with, you know, the aprons and the luxury tax stuff. Like, can you walk us through just a little bit of where you guys are at with that?
Well, obviously the free agent signing was the second part of our process. The first being about a week and a half ago with the draft. So we felt we added some very good young players who have a chance to contribute as rookies this year. As was noted before, they're 22 and 23 years old. So they have more experience than a lot of the 18 and 19-year-old guys, and they're a little more physically mature. So we like that. We felt that that gives us a chance to get better. Said all along, the key to getting the point guard, and this guy was the key to that. And from this point on, like you've heard me say this many times, we're going to be both opportunistic and prudent as we survey the landscape in terms of adding any additional pieces to the team. So we'll figure that out as the next days and weeks go by. But I like where we're at today, and that's what I want to, you know, finish with that, and we'll see what tomorrow brings.
Back over here, Dennis, Brandon Benitez here up on stage, CBS 13. Welcome to Sacramento. I'm just curious about any impressions that you had anytime you had to visit Sacramento. What was the atmosphere like, and if there was anything that stuck out to you in your trips here?
Yeah, I mean, the fans is the first thing what comes to mind when you hear the Sacramento Kings. Always loud, and then always when Keegan Murray scored, Keegan Murray, I kind of liked that. And every time when I was on the bench, I was, he was scoring, and I was like having a smile on my face. That was pretty, unique, because he's with my agent, Mark Bartenstein, as well. But like I said, the fans is great, and that's all you can ask for. Every time when I came to Sacramento, I stayed in the hotel, walked a little bit with my wife when we came here, but that's it.
I'm sure there's a chant ready for you. It's just going to take a little bit of time. As for Scott, I'm curious. A lot of players have been pretty vocal about the CBA, and I'm just curious about your experience throughout this offseason of any added degree of difficulty. What's that looked like trying to navigate the good and the bad of this CBA?
It's never been an easy task since I've been in the league, to be honest with you. You know, a lot has being written and talked about now with the first and second aprons, which makes things challenging, to say the least. But, I approach this off season just like any other time I've had since I've been in the league, again, with a positive outlook, trying to figure out how we can get something accomplished instead of saying why we're not going to get something accomplished. So that's how I look at it.
Hey, Dennis, back here as well. Kevin John, ABC 10. Welcome to SAC. My question for you is, you've been in the league for a significant amount of time, played on several teams. At this point in your career, do you still feel that you have to prove something? Do you still have a chip on your shoulder? And if so, how do you embrace that and go about that?
Chip on my shoulder. I got my own legacy. Every year, every day when I wake up, I try to be 1% better. It don't matter if it's in basketball or in life. I just try to be great every single day for my family. Of course, now for organization who really wants me here. But I don't have to prove anything. I mean, I'm from Germany, Braunschweig. Mm-hmm. To be here 12 years and now signing a 3-year contract is where I'm from is unique. So nothing to prove.
Dennis, just quick follow-up. I wanted to ask about playing with somebody like Sabonis, who's so instrumental in getting the offense rolling. Is he kind of a unicorn in his own right? Have you played anybody with anyone like him? I was trying to go through the history in my mind here of who you played with, and I wasn't landing on anyone.
No, I mean, he's unique. How he pushes the pace when he gets the rebound, gluing everybody together. hitting people, backdoor cuts, you know, and great passes. Really physical, big, who set screens, great in the pocket, can shoot it. You know, I mean, he's unique. So I'm really looking forward to compete with him. We had a couple of battles in Europe as well. So now he's on my side. We're on the same side. So really looking forward to compete with him. Perfect.
Thank you.
Scott's like, get me out of here. Get me out of here. I've always liked the way Dennis dressed.
He's always had a good little style to him. He absolutely.
He's rocking denim on denim, black undershirt, silver chains around the neck and in the pocket, black hat. Yeah, Brody looks. That's a good look right there.
The fashion game.
You've been on point.
Is turning up here in Sacramento with Dennis and Tim.
Yeah, he been on point. Malik better be ready. Come on now.
For how long?
Come on now. God damn it, you two. Will you stop?
I mean, it's a fair question.
Oh, G-Man right there. I didn't want to take this down because G-Man over there talking to Dennis.
G-Man, what up, baby?
Come on, man. That's a man right there.
Is that Michael?
It is.
He's looking like Michael, growing up.
Michael. Yeah, this off-season aged him. Look at Deuce with the little arm-hugging shirt on. I see y'all boys out there.
Man,
all right.
Say what's up to everybody.
All right. We'll say hi to everybody. It's good stuff right there. We'll follow this up with I've always liked Dennis, man. Mm-hmm. I've always liked Dennis Schroeder. I like this style. I like this game. I like him as a Sacramento King. I don't know what to tell some fans. Like, I maybe you don't like the money. Maybe you had your heart set on something else. Understood. But I've always liked Dennis Schroeder, man. I like this acquisition. I like this acquisition for Sacramento. I wanted them to do more, but as a standalone signing for Sacramento, I love it.
I don't think people are going to like this. I don't think people are going to agree with this. Sacramento Kings got better. Mm. They're a better team than they were when they got eliminated the other day. Once again, how much better? I'm not here to say that. I'm not here to say it's a 50-win team or nothing like that. But I, like you, like Dennis Schroeder. I like what he brings to a team. This team was in need of a point guard. And you heard some of the things he had to say as far as he plays like a point guard, where I want to make sure I'm putting my teammates in position to be great. I've seen his game. That's what he does. When it's time to score, it's time to do that too. But you see him in the NBA for sure, even in the international play. He's a floor general. He has shown that throughout his career. I like the aspect of him picking up 94 feet when need be. I know Doug probably loved that.
Yeah. You
know, that's something that he preaches all the time. And Dennis is a guy that you're not going to have to remind to do that or convince to do that. That's in his DNA. So, once again, I'm not here to get into whether they should be better or not, like if that's the route to go. But I do believe they're a better team than when the season ended last year with Dennis Schroeder. And that's before you talk about the two rookies as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's post-traumatic stress disorder. I don't even want to talk about the rookies.
Understandable.
Granted, we've got four healthy shoulders amongst them, but I don't know, man. Like just thinking about putting pressure on these two brothers who was drafted a couple weeks ago is like. I'm going to stop short of doing that. I'd rather be pleasantly surprised from those two than going in with expectations.
I think Maxine, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, I think he's going to be part of the rotation as your backup father.
Well, he might have to be.
Yeah.
I mean, with Valanciunas gone, I don't know that you really plan on playing Dario Saric.
No. That's like right now, he's going to be a backup five. Now, Sabonis is playing 35 minutes a night. You know what I mean? So you're not going to get that much time out there. Maybe,
and that's
6 minutes each half.
Yeah, that's fine.
But he's going to be in the rotation. Neek, I think he can be part of the rotation, talking about Neek Clifford. But with this log jam they have at the guard position, I got to find out where the minutes, as the roster stands right now, where the minutes going to come from, because you got to play Devin, Monk, and Keon.
You know who we could use? Jay Crowder.
Could have used him last year.
It'd been great if Jay Crowder was here.
nobody wanted to play him. Not even poor, Doug. Doug wasn't even interested.
Or Jay Crowder. Or we're Brock Lesnar, and he's the Undertaker. Just the end of the streak.
It was Jay Crowder's birthday yesterday, I think.
But. Happy birthday, Jay. Yeah. Is he signed?
No. No, he's...
Josh Giddey's a restricted free agent. We were looking up this earlier when we were talking about like the impact of the collective bargaining agreement, aprons, and so on and so forth. And, you know, Jonathan Kuminga is out there. And, you know, what is... Yeah, obviously, Kings fans are a little bit more invested in Jonathan Kuminga because he's tied to Sacramento in kind of roundabout ways. And then you've got the situation going on in Golden State. A lot of Warriors fans around, but... Josh Giddey, a good ball player.
He is a good ball player. You know who really likes Josh Giddey is our guy Drake UU.
Okay.
He texts me for months now about Josh Giddey. I think he played really well in Chicago. Like really well, especially the second half of the season. He did some really good stuff out there. I'm always concerned about his shooting ability and his ability or lack thereof to defend. But I caught some of those games in the second half of that Bulls season. It was really good. Like, he seemed like he'd figured some stuff out.
Big thanks to Chris for the Super Chat money. He says, love this signing. Slowly but surely, this team will get better. Scott is trying to turn a bad situation into something good. I like that attitude, Chris. I wish we had more Kings fans that thought like that, man. That's a good look. I hope you're right, man. What's that line, the Jay-Z line? I could sell water to a well.
I sell water to a well.
That's Scott Perry.
Yeah. I sell ice in the winter. I sell fire in hell. I am a hustler, baby. I will sell water to a well.
That's Scott Perry's theme song right there. As soon as Scott Perry starts talking, I start listening.
Yeah. And once again, not trying to tell anybody how they should fan or what they think should be the way to go about things, but Scott Perry seems to, at least right now, align a little bit more with how I like to go about things. Like he said it in the press conference, I'm not focused on why we can't do something. I'm focused on trying to figure this out, trying to get better, trying to get us in a better situation. If he looks at the situation and feels like tanking or just getting rid of all assets is the best way to go about it, sure, that's one way to go about it. But right now, he doesn't seem to have that feeling. He seems to say, we got some talented players here. We have some skilled players here. Let's see if we can mold this into something. We got a guy in Doug Christie who's getting a real shot to be a head coach, has his coaching staff with him. Let's give this a real shot and see what we can make of some of these players we have on this roster. I think that's how I go about things. That's all. Doesn't make it right or wrong. Just that's how I go about it. And Scott seems to be in line with that.
Anything else stand out from either Dennis? Scott didn't talk as much. We missed some of his opening lines there. But anything else stand out from Dennis and him talking about his journey here to Sacramento? I thought the Keegan Murray reference was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Obviously, anyone who comes to Sacramento and is asked about the city, they're going to speak about the fans immediately. They've all played in front of them. But anything else that caught your attention?
No, we talked about his mindset of how he plays and going out there as a point guard. He said specifically, you know, my job is to go out there and make sure everybody else is great. And that's essentially what a point guard is supposed to do, pick and choose your spots when it's time to score. And if you watch him play enough, he does kind of go by that. You know, he is a point guard for sure. Like he makes sure that he sets up his guys and picks and chooses his spots to unleash his offense. But that's one of the reasons why I think he could help. Like we got Got a point guard in the building now.
Yeah.
A true PG.
And that was the number one thing everyone said the Sacramento Kings needed, whether it was the people in the front office or the people who watched this basketball team. The number one thing everyone said was, we need a point guard, or they need a point guard. And Dennis Schroeder is that for now. Now we've started to hear some conversations about Devin Carter potentially playing backup point guard minutes. Apparently he's going to get a lot of run in Las Vegas as a backup point guard. I know Devin spoke yesterday following the practice for Summer League. We'll see if we could bring some of that audio from you coming up here in just a few minutes. I don't. My concern with this lies in, I understand he's listed as a guard. He's listed as a point guard, but he's not.
I'm talking about Devin.
Mm-hmm. And so when you try to shoehorn a player into a position that not, I feel like we just did that. We just did it with a different player. It didn't work with Malik. Now we're going to try to do it with Devin. Now, just because it didn't necessarily work with Malik, especially in large doses, and it doesn't mean it can't work with Devin. And maybe the idea being, well, it didn't work with Malik because we had to have him be the starting point guard. That is not at any point what we wanted to do. It's just what we had to do following the De'Aaron Fox trade. Mm-hmm. Maybe the idea is Devin's not going to be in that position. Devin's not going to be in the position to be the starting. He shouldn't, knock on this table, have to play big minutes as the point guard. There shouldn't be a scenario out there where he has to be the starting point guard. So maybe the idea is he can play the old Malik backup point guard minutes while Malik does, you know, something else at the two spot or whatever.
Even though
you guys are throwing him out of here and saying he don't even have a jersey no more.
Well, I'm not saying that's what the streets are saying. I'm not saying it. Well,
you and Jesse what the sure had
saying. You know.
So I said Malik got to step his game up this year. And both of y'all said the same thing. And I was just talking about
fashion. You guys did the whole thing last week where you yelled at all of us, told us to deal with the situation and be realistic about it. And, like, Malik's probably gone. Like, what do you want me to do after that?
There's no evidence that happened.
The one thing I'll say about your thoughts about Devin as a point guard is – I agree with you, and I don't know if we agree for the same exact reasons. I don't think he's a point guard. I just don't. I never have thought he's a point guard. He has been listed as long as I've been familiar with Devin Carter as a point guard.
Mm-hmm.
People.
Domantas Sabonis is listed as a forward.
Yeah. But I say that to say Malik Monk wasn't, right? Malik Monk was a shooting guard.
Yeah.
And they tried to say, hey, he's got some kind of skills that may translate to the point guard position. Let's put him there. But by nature, by who he is, the position he is, he was a shooting guard. Devin has been always looked at as a point guard. And I look at his game, I'm like, I don't see point guard. I just see like kind of a combo guard.
Yeah.
But, you know, that is technically been his position for as long as I've known him, last 3 years or so. So maybe he's a little bit more, I do think he is more natural at the point guard position than Malik Monk. And to your point, we're not asking you to start and lead a team. We don't think you're there yet as a point guard, but come in, backup PG, backup combo guard. Maybe, you know, that'll work out a lot better than it did when we try to put Malik in there as a starter.
Okay, we'll come back. We'll continue to talk. Dennis Schroeder introduced as the newest member of your Sacramento Kings. We'll talk more about that. Trista Crick at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. You definitely don't want to miss that. It's Dealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Let's go to the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. Our man TC. I know TC ready to talk.
I know he turned up too.
916-909-1320. What's up, TC?
Hey, what's up with my two brothers? You know I'm fired up.
Yes, sir. What's up, man?
Hey, man, just chilling. Hey, listen, man, we're dealing with two cold individuals, right? That was up at that press conference, two dogs. Mm-hmm. And Dennis Schroeder and Perry with that eye, man. He got that eye of a tiger. right now. I'm not playing right now, y'all. And I'm explaining to the media because I see everything that's floating around. This isn't going to take. This is not an overnight job. This is going to take time. This is my number one guy. Everybody that's in this room right now said we needed a point guard. Well, we got a point guard. So now we got to put these pieces together and give me time to do what I got to do. Mm. I'm all for it, bro. Hey, what I seen from the press conference and what I heard that cadence and they voice, we ain't play. Hey, Perry ain't doing no playing. Schroeder ain't doing no playing. I like his outfit. Hey, what you said, D-Lo? Hey, if my boy's still here,
yeah.
Hey, he better be on top of his game because Schroeder finna come with it. That's all I got. We're dealing with two dogs. Give Perry time to put this together, man.
I'm with you.
You funny,
I'm
man.
With you, TC. I'm with you. Let the man do his thing.
He said they got the eye of the tiger.
He really said, yeah, that man's cadence. We got it.
Yeah, like it was the way that they were talking got TC all riled up.
Shout out TC. With the and I get what he's saying. It's just funny when you think about it. The general manager's a dog.
Yeah. Yeah. He ain't playing around.
Dunleavy Jr., you better watch your back.
Mike Dunleavy Jr. soft as a GM. But we got a dog.
DC is what he's a saying, wild though, boy.
I see what he's saying. Wild boy. Schroeder, though. I think Kings fans are gonna like Dennis Schroeder. They may not result in like a bunch of playoff success or anything like that, but I think Kings fans are gonna like Dennis Schroeder.
Is the issue less about Schroeder and just more so there's just not a real future with this team right now. Like it's not the moves that maybe fans wanna see that kind of pushes them forward and like me and Kyle were talking about like maybe 27, 28, stuff like that. Like Schroeder's good for this season where yeah, you're gonna compete, you'll be a playing team, probably win 40 games or a little bit more and stuff like that, but it's very short-sighted, feels like a tough thing to say, but it's just all based on this season probably, and maybe next year, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm also of the understanding that that's fair. I'm also of the understanding that this all wasn't going to be fixed in 1 year.
Yeah.
Even if you tore everything down, like yeah, you just moved on from DeRozan and LaVine and Sabonis and started from scratch, that don't mean everything's fixed. Like, you yeah, still got to go out there and find a franchise player, or find, build the roster back up.
And we know that's easy to find.
Is it less easy about being fixed, though, and more so like you're making progress towards something? Because it kind of, is it unfair to say that it feels like it's on hold right now?
No, I don't, no.
Like, LaVine is here. We're not expecting him to be long-term. DeMar's here. We're not expecting him to be long-term. I'm not sure what the plan is with Sabonis. Schroeder has a non-guarantee his third year, I believe, or a partial guarantee.
It's not unfair, but I don't know that it's accurate. Like, I don't know that on hold as if he's just sitting around waiting. Like, I think Scott's trying.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just more so
but like there's probably only so much that he could do.
Well, yeah, there's no market, so like that's on hold because like there's nothing he can do right now.
Right.
I don't think Scott Perry's like, yeah, we'll see till next year or whatever. Like, he's going after Kuminga, trying to make that work. I mean, who knows what happens there? He's got Schroeder and stuff, but it's just more so this isn't a long-term play here with these guys on the roster right now.
No. I mean, it depends on how you feel about Sabonis. Like, maybe you look at Sabonis as a long-term play.
I fluctuate with that guy. Like he's great, but we said it, that would say with Sabonis.
Yeah. I think once you get past the contract aspect of it, I think Zach LaVine potentially could be a long-term play. Both of those guys I don't look at as being guys that are going to lead you in your best player. But if you – I don't know how you get this other person in here, but if you had a true best player on here and then Zach LaVine was your starting shooting guard at your second or third best player, it's a pretty good team. Like, that is a good team. And when you talk about the future, like, say that happens a year or two from now. He's, what, 32, 33? Like, that's pretty good. The reason why the future is so murky is, I believe, they just don't have the one franchise guy. I think it's more to do with that than the players that are on the roster, if that makes sense. Because if you have one one guy that was different, you look at this team differently, right? Like if you,
yeah, it's a clear vision to build. Like if they brought in Trae Young or something like that, I feel a lot better about this team's future.
Right, right, and that's all it is, and that's where I get it. It's not necessarily like get rid of these guys; it doesn't work. Because if once again, if you would have got rid of those guys, you still would be needing somebody to build around.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the one guy that you're missing that you thought you had in De'Aaron Fox. That's what frustrates a lot of people. Whether you did or not, that's up for discussion. But you thought you had a franchise guy in De'Aaron Fox. I don't know. Some people believe you do have that guy in Domantas Sabonis. I think you're still searching for that guy.
I'm with you. The search continues. Doesn't mean he's not a good ball player. Doesn't mean I don't like having him on this team. But we did this when talking about Detroit. We did this when talking about a handful of other teams in the league. They got the guy. The guy.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings don't have the guy. And that's you could debate whether they ever had it, but they don't have it. Right. And I don't think they have it in Domas. Again, I want Domantas Sabonis on this team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him traded. I want other guys put around him. More specifically, I want a better player put around him. That's not happening this year. It's probably not happening through the draft. It's probably not happening through free agency. Your best bet is it happened. I mean, I guess it could happen through the draft, but you're going to have to – you got to hit gold, mm-hmm. platinum,
yeah.
or it has to happen through a trade.
Yeah, and that's the way I look at Domas the same way, really. Yeah, I want him on the squad. I think he's a great player, and if you're trying to be a good team and a good franchise, you need players like Domantas Sabonis. To your point, though, I need somebody that's better than him. You know, and that's always the toughest part. Like that's all. I think you can find good players throughout this league and build a good roster. That number one franchise guy, that's always the toughest part. I don't even think there's 30 teams in the league. There's not 30 number one franchise guys.
Right.
There's
nope.
Probably half that, 15 max.
Let me ask you something. I was thinking about this just as I said Cade Cunningham's name a second ago. Does Toronto have one?
No. Even Scotty Barnes?
That guy.
Who's really good.
What a legendary time in this show's history that was.
Scotty Barnes, who's really good, he's not a number one. He's not a guy that you can build your franchise around as being the guy on your squad. I think his ceiling is that of a number two. You know, they compare him to a guy like Scottie Pippen, who's great. That's a Hall of Famer, but yeah. it's not number one. Put the franchise on my back, I'm going to lead us there. I don't believe that's who Scottie Barnes is. That doesn't mean he's a bad player. You don't want him as part of your franchise. Hmm. Like I said, There's not 30 number ones.
Mm-hmm.
Floating
that's right. Yeah,
the NBA.
Yeah. So that was the point. That's mm-hmm. that's what I was trying to get at. Scotty Barnes is really good. All of us would take him on the Sacramento Kings. I think most NBA fans would take him on their favorite team. It's tough being that one,
mm-hmm.
and I mean we just saw. Paolo get paid. Like Orlando said, this is our one. This is our guy. Mm-hmm. And I think we could be in a stage where this will be a real interesting thing to follow. Do we start seeing the ones get those contracts and not just really good rookies
mm-hmm.
or, rookie extension guys?
Right.
Does this collective bargaining agreement, these first aprons, second aprons, does this change the approach with teams to where it's like, I mean, man, Keegan's, they've got to be thinking about what to do with Keegan Murray. Mm. And I know, and I think it's fair, Houston, Jabari. Mm-hmm. Jabari got the 122. I don't know if that's a barometer on the high side, a barometer on the low side. That's a barometer like that is a fair equivalent to what we're doing with Keegan Murray. But I just, it and I don't mean to like overstate this, it just feels like we're in a different game right now when it comes to the collective bargaining agreement and it comes to contracts.
Yeah.
We'll come back. We're going to get ourselves back on track after that press conference because Trista Crick's going to join us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, and that's going to throw us completely off track. Steele and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Trista Crick is going to be with us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour.
We had the Dennis Schroeder press conference mm-hmm. right here earlier. He got introduced as the newest member of the Sacramento King. Did you see Mike Brown had his press conference in New York?
I did not see it. I saw on the TV that it happened.
Yeah.
But he
just said you'd like to hear from Mike Brown. It was the clip Jesse had. Jesse played a clip. Look, I have my guys here in New York. I've got Jalen Brunson. I've got Mikal Bridges. I've got OG Anunoby. Those are my guys, right? Those are my guys. And we have to make sure on the defensive end that we're ready to go. Those are my guys. Karl Anthony Towns, if he doesn't defend, I will go find a 6'8 guy off the street and they'll start. You know, what? Excuse me.
Jesus. Mike, are you okay? Can I tell you something amazing? You set yourself up for that. That's really spectacular. You didn't even shoot a text to Jesse like, hey, Jesse, throw me the lob. You're just like, no, I got this. I'm going to set it up myself. And as Jalen says, and scene. Are you proud of that?
That was real audio of Mike Brown's press conference in New York.
I'm going to keep it real. I was like, well, I don't have any audio from Mike Brown's press conference, so.
Let's see. Do we have any? I wonder. Now, hold on.
I'm not trading any of my wings.
Mike, not even for LeBron?
Hold on. Let's see.
That's my guy, too. Hey, King. Hey, King. I saw him call.
Did he call somebody a king?
He called LeBron a king. I'll never forget that.
Oh. Hold on.
Hold on, King.
Let's see how truly bad this impression is.
You talk about a historic franchise. Madison Square Garden. It's iconic.
Bro.
Our fans.
Come on.
No, we're not even like 10 seconds into the clip.
Come on.
They say Madison Square Garden real quick, Kenny.
You talk about a historic franchise. Madison Square Garden.
Madison Square Garden.
Damn it. Damn. That's too spot on. Like the garden part at the end, you guys.
Square Garden. It's iconic. Our fans.
If he coughs, I quit.
They're the most knowledgeable.
Yeah, I will quit and if he coughs.
Probably in all of sports.
No,
there's a lot of work.
I thought he was going to cough.
To be done.
Mike, they went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
There's a lot of work. LeBron's on his way. LeBron is on his way.
I love Mike Brown. Mike, y'all was in the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
We have an outstanding roster. What they did in the playoffs shows their potential.
I can almost hear him about to cough.
I've had great conversations with all of our players.
Why is he so serious?
And I'm looking forward to growing positive, strong relationships with all of them over time.
Time.
Yeah, so he's doing some.
You talk about
Madison Square Garden. It's iconic.
Historic franchise. Madison Square Garden. It's iconic.
Oh, man.
You make that face for him. Do that hand gesture.
I don't know.
Like, duh. That's what he did right there.
Shout out to my boy, Mike Brown.
Can we get any... Oh, okay, let's
see.
They
got that one up there like he passed away.
Let's see what Mike talking about on this one here.
We might get a call here.
My bad. I wanted a
sustainable winning culture.
Holy crap, isn't that what Scott Perry said?
What Mike said the first time he was here.
Oh my God.
Produces championships. That's why I'm here.
God, this is the most serious press conference ever.
What it takes to create that success. A lot of hard work.
I was laughing. I'm gonna run that back.
He said that's why. Nah,
hold on.
Create that success.
Hold on. That's my bad. That was bad. I got you right here.
To know what it takes to create that success. A lot of hard work. A high level of commitment and a focus on today. A sustainable winning culture that produces champions.
I love Mike Brown, but holy crap.
I'm gonna let him live, man. I like Mike Brown.
Oh man, here's the whole thing.
I'd like to start by thanking Mr. Dolan.
Mr. Dolan, God damn it, Mike.
This incredible opportunity. I'd also like to acknowledge my fiance, Ro, for her continued
fiance? Yeah, okay, Mike. Okay, Mike.
Congratulations.
I look forward to working with Leon.
Mike heard that segment about weddings earlier. He's like, you know what?
Sure. Common goal of winning a championship. I'm honored.
Now, I'm going to skip around a little bit. Why does he look so
great? Conversations.
He looks pissed. With all smile, Mike.
What it takes to create that success.
Now, we heard this already.
Yeah, okay.
A competitive spirit.
Oh God.
And an overall belief.
If you can't see us, if you're listening, Mike looks like he's lecturing the New York media right now.
In the process, and each other.
Mike, loosen up.
I'm looking forward to getting to know you all.
A slight smile. He's lying. He's not. Hate you guys.
The Matt George and Knicks meet.
Okay, now here come questions. There's a slight smile. God, they ask questions for 18 minutes.
They don't play over there.
Yeah. I'm trying to find a cough real quick.
Things that we want to do offense.
And he's up there by himself, by the way.
Yeah.
There ain't nobody up there with him.
And he's not seated.
He gave a monologue. He is standing.
My first bench job was with the Washington Bullets. They were still. You don't feel.
I'm just seeing if we can land on a cough. Look, Mike leaves Sacramento. The cough clears up, and he gets engaged.
It was the allergies. It was the pollen.
That's possible.
I'm fortunate to know what it takes to create that success.
Boy, Mike was nervous as hell, wasn't he?
Okay.
Man.
Championship coach Mike Brown.
Mike's been on championship staff. Stop it.
He said that's why he's here. All right.
How many rings he got as a head coach? I'm asking. I'll ask. How many rings does he have as a head coach?
Why don't you answer? I'm not going to answer.
He doesn't have any. He doesn't have any as a head coach.
Well,
I'm not even trying to hate, bro, but don't.
Hey, Raul was right. He did that Obama pause, though. I ain't mad at the Obama pause. He let his words have space. He let his words have space.
Roddy, this is not fair. This is wrong. He says, I'm humbled and honored to be your sixth choice as head coach.
I don't know if it was that high, Roddy. I don't know if it was
high. Come on, man.
They tried to get Billy Donovan in there.
Hey, Mike Brown, I'm going to tell you right now, though. Mike Brown is going to the NBA Finals next year.
He's got a lot of work ahead. His team only made it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
Real quick, did anyone say that Mike Brown was a bad coach? Karen says, LOL, so everyone who doesn't have a ring is a bad coach. Nobody
said that. Oh, Karen Bagley, shut up. God damn it, man.
Boo. Yeah. Boo. Tomato, tomato, tomato. Yeah. Boo.
No, nobody's saying that. But just don't tell me you know what it takes to win rings, blah, 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 as a head coach, and you haven't even won one as a head coach.
Secure in the Bagley.
Tomato, tomato.
Gosh.
Man.
Wet blanket, Sakiran.
Securing the wet blanket.
Damn.
Wasn't that one of his names one time?
Securing the wet blanket?
Yeah, somebody was a wet blanket, wasn't it?
Was a lot of
no, you look. No, you nicknamed somebody like wet blanket yeah. Steven.
Oh, was it? I think so, yeah.
Isn't that it?
I think that was the case. Oh, man.
I love Mike, man. I hope it. I mean, he's in a tough spot.
He's not in a tough spot.
No, yes, he is. Like he's got to win immediately, like at the highest level.
Well, you know what I'm gonna say though. You know what I'm gonna say.
But that's what you get paid to do.
What's a tougher spot? Him or Doug Christie? Doug Christie. He ain't got the players.
Yeah. Yeah,
So look, they're both tough spots. Give me Mike's tough spot. I'll take that one.
Yeah, well, of course, because you're a Knicks fan.
Or what's my dog? In Charlotte. That's a tough spot.
Is that
spot.
Borrega? Oh.
No, that's the
Charles Lee.
Oh, Charles Lee.
Charles Lee in a tough
Where's
spot.
Where's Borrega? Is he an assistant? Where's James Borrega?
He is an assistant. Oh, man, I saw it. He was talked about for the Knicks.
Yeah, job. Someone, yeah, wherever he's at said no, didn't they?
I think so. I think that's exactly what happened.
James Borrega. Oh, God, he's with the Pelicans. Oh,
well, that's a tough spot.
Yeah. I guess none of these guys are really in good spots.
Could be the head coach this year.
Man, come to think about it, I ain't seen Doug since that press conference.
Is Willie still there?
Pretty sure he's still there.
Yeah, they haven't fired Willie Green.
God, it's going to be more crying again.
Crying about...
He's probably crying because they ain't fired him.
Yeah. Willie, we haven't even talked to you. Can you walk in the office first, please?
saying, I enjoyed my time here in New Orleans. You always be in my heart.
Willie gonna get a text, man. Hey, Joe wants to see you in his office. Nah, man, it's cool. I'm just gonna go home. It's all good. Just send my stuff to me.
Never
I'm going home.
When he cried on that ESPN Wednesday night game in January.
That didn't happen.
It was Pelicans Grizzlies.
Bro, you cried at your son's basketball game.
That was an emotional moment. Those kids fought hard.
Yeah, at least he was coaching his son. Willie was coaching a bunch of strangers.
He wasn't even coaching. He was just at the game. He was a spectator.
I was coaching at that point. He was a spectator. The boys fought.
He's like,
man.
I'm so proud of you guys. And hey, Reese, what's wrong with your dad?
The boys fought, man. What were they, about 10 at the time? Them 10-year-olds fought, boy, against Seattle Rotary. Everything stacked against
them. I think
them.
It's the only time I've ever seen Kenny emotional.
Oh, my wedding.
We've had deaths. I didn't see you cry at your wedding.
I was at the when Jazz was walking down.
It's one of those.
Nobody was watching you when Jazz was walking down the aisle.
Yeah, that's true.
Kidding?
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
Then.
Nobody paying attention to you?
Macy's, let me get this tear out real quick.
Yeah. I will cry when no one's watching. We've had, you know how many deaths we've had on this show? This man ain't never shed a tear.
You know I get emotional. I'm a cancer, man. You know, everybody always talking about cancers. They'd be like, oh, you little crybabies. Relax.
Okay. Yeah.
Relax. Settle down.
Never shed one tear in 5 years except for a little league basketball game. Son gets hit in the face with a baseball bat going 100 miles an hour. And Casey just goes, hey, I got to go. Reese got hit or something and just leaves.
I had to get out of here. I had to get to the south side of town, man.
We've had uncles die, friends die, smoothie died. Casey, hey, we're good. Little league basketball game, boy.
That was tough, man. I'm kidding.